All right, good. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day that we can come together and study your word. We thank you that the word of God is living, that it is powerful, that it's able to minister to us right where we are today. And we pray that you'd give freedom and liberty as we study your word. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, not only to learn the truth, but to apply the truth, that our lives might be changed by the living word of God. Bless our time this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. His name was Doug. Doug was 24 years old before he got saved. And when Doug got saved, life was just changed radically. For the first time, he had the joy in his soul that he never had. His sins were forgiven. Heaven was his eternal home. He had the joy of the Holy Spirit in his life. Things were great. Doug grew very rapidly. He was discipled in the church. And before long, the Lord led Doug to a ministry in the church. And he got involved in the church, was active doing things. Boy, it was exciting. A little fearful about doing something for the Lord. But he was so excited about it, had joy, and was serving the Lord. And boy, it was just great at the beginning. As time went on, the joy kind of seemed to fade. There were some problems in his life that he had to deal with, some things he didn't think should be quite the way they were. Even in the ministry he was involved in, there were some people who got to do things he wanted to do and were elevated over him. And, you know, he got looking at them and he began to lose the joy of the ministry. And he kept going, but it was all kind of a legalistic duty thing. You know, I got to do this and do this. And just the joy had departed. And so it wasn't long, even a couple years after Doug got saved, that he no longer had the joy of the Lord in his life, the joy of his salvation. He no longer had joy in ministry, and he was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. I am afraid, now this is a fictitious story, I made it up this morning. But unfortunately, I think a lot of us could put our names in that story. We got saved maybe as a child, maybe later in life, and we were excited about the Christian life. There was joy in serving Jesus, but man, over time, things just kind of got tough. And now we're still saved, we're still going to heaven, and we're still serving, but there is no joy. By the way, and we'll talk about this later on in the lesson, Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. I mean, we ought to have joy. And yet, as I even walked down the hall this morning in the church and talked to people, it was sad. It's good to be a Christian. I'm so excited about being in church today, you know. The bus cab, I get here about 8 o'clock, and the bus captains are getting on the bus and get ready to go, and here we go again. You know, where's my Ritalin? You know, can I take it? That's not true of all of them. Not Rush. Rush was excited about being on the bus this morning. That's exactly right. Now, this morning, we are beginning a new area in Colossians 1, a new section. So far in Colossians 1, we have seen Paul as he defends who Christ is. There was a great attack on the deity of Christ. And Paul was defending who Christ was. And then he went into a passage that we studied about being reconciled and the work of Christ. And right at the end of that passage, in verse 23, he mentions that he had been made a minister. And for the rest of the chapter, he's going to talk about the ministry. And by the way, I know there's a very focused part of people who are called to full-time ministry. But the simple matter of fact is, if you're a believer, you should be in the ministry. You should be ministering. So just because we're talking about the ministry now for the next several weeks, don't check out on me and say, well, that's just for people, full-time Christians. If that was the case, you could all leave. It's just for me, okay? But it's not. We all should be in the ministry. And as Paul talks about the ministry now, from verse 24 through 29, he gives 8 different marks of the ministry. 8 things that should be true of the ministry. Now, we're obviously not going to cover all 8 this morning. In fact, Lord willing, we'll cover 2. and we'll split them up and cover two a week till we're done with this passage. But there are some very important characteristics of the ministry that should be true in your life. If they're not true in your life, then you need to make some changes. If they're not true in my life, then I need to make some changes. Okay? Eight characteristics of the ministry. We'll look at two this morning. Let's start in verse 23. And I'm just going to read verse 23 and 24. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now notice, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind with the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, we'll cover this whole passage eventually, but today really just verse 23 and the very beginning of verse 24. The first thing I want you to see, the first characteristic of the ministry, is the source of the ministry. You notice the phrase in the end of verse 23 where it says, Paul am made a minister. Why was Paul a minister? Because he wanted to be, right? Because of his special talents and special education. Now, I want to just touch on this very quickly, and I want to be careful here, but it's interesting to me that a pastor is called a minister. Now, today that word is, we don't say, he's a minister, we say, he's a minister. He's a man of the cloth, you know. And we kind of think as ministers of being super Christians, you know. And they have victory over all things. If you took Jody's t-shirt off, or Pastor Jody, he'd be a big S under there, you know, for SP for, or super preacher, you know, super Christian. Well, the simple matter of fact is, ministers in the very, these that are called a full-time Christian service, guess what? They're people just like all of us, aren't they? And some ministers have a superiority complex, and they are, I am the man. I mean, I am the man of the cloth. Bow down and worship when I come by. Now, our pastor doesn't have that, and I thank the Lord for that, but I know some pastors, some preachers that have been like that, and they come into the church to preach. You try to go talk to them. They won't give you the time of day because they are the ministers. It's interesting, this word ministry, you know what it is actually is? Servant. Now, that doesn't sound all high and mighty, does it? Servant. And by the way, that is how the pastor views his position. I praise the Lord for that. That's how I view my position in the church. I am your servant. And some of you have been lining up projects for me of things you want me to do. But whenever I visit someone, and my wife and I, we visited with Rachel yesterday, and one of the things that we told Rachel several times is we're here to help you. We're here to serve you. And we are. Now, if you need money, go see Pastor, you know. That's right. They are to be ministers. And it's interesting to me, Paul often in the Word of God talks about himself being a servant. In fact, many of the openings of the books he writes, what does he say? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 4:1, the word servant is a different word. It's the word for under oarsman. It's the guy down at the galley of the boat who's rowing down below. Now, having said all that, does the Bible teach that special honors to be given to those who are the pastors, who are the ministers of the word? Sure, undoubtedly. But there needs to be a balance there. Needs to be a balance. And a minister, whether you are a full-time minister or a minister in the choir or a minister in the bus or a minister in the nursery or a minister as an usher or wherever you minister, you're there to serve. And by the way, that puts a great different slant on things. See, if I'm in the choir, and I'm the choir director, so I can talk about the choir, and I am there to be seen and to have an elevated position, what happens when I don't get that elevated position? What happens to my joy? It's gone. If I'm a bus captain and nobody gets up in church and says, Terry Edwards, a bus captain of bus 9, he's a great guy, a wonderful bus captain, best one we've got. In fact, of course, I just made the other 8 mad. And Terry said, whoa, no one just pat me on the back. What happens to his joy? It's gone. But if we view our service for God as being ministers or servants, that'll help you keep your joy. And we'll talk about that at the end of the lesson. Now, as we look at the source of the ministry, there's no doubt there is a specific call to full-time Christian service. There's no doubt about that. Paul had that. And again, it was not his education, his ability, his parents, his desires. None of those things made him a pastor. In fact, when Paul was called to full-time Christian service, his name was Saul, what was his desire? Kill Christians. Yeah. So his call changed his life dramatically. And of course, the Lord came to Saul on the road to Damascus, and the Lord got his attention very quickly and said, Saul, you need to change. And you're going to quit being a persecutor of Christians, and you're going to be a preacher of the gospel. And it's interesting in this passage, and I did not read on down, but notice verse 25. Again, Paul uses the word. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Now, that's kind of a difficult word for us. We think of dispensations, and we've heard about the seven dispensations. This is not what it's talking about. That word is the word steward. The root word of that word is the word house. And it's somebody who's over the house. So a minister is a servant. They are also a steward. God has given them a ministry that they are over. They are stewards of that business. I've been picking on Terry here. Terry is been given a stewardship of Johnson City on bus 9. God has given him a certain area. He is a steward over that area. He is over the house, as it were. His bus is his house. All right. So he's over this ministry. So Paul said, look, the ministry, you're a servant, you're a steward, and that has been given to you by whom? God. Now, folks, this puts a whole slant on something, doesn't it? And again, Terry, you're a great illustration today. Who gave you that bus route? I mean, who made you a steward of bus 9? Now, if it was John Mineta, or before that, myself, or before that, you've been a bus captain a long time. Who'd you start under, Graham? You can't remember that far back. That's been a long time ago, isn't it? Now, look, if your ministry is given to you by a man, then what is your goal? Please the man. If the man makes you mad, what do? You quit. If the man isn't nice to you and doesn't say good things to you, what do? You quit. But wait a minute. The ministry is given by God. Whether it's full-time ministry and a specific call to full-time ministry, or whether it is a call to serve in the local church, your ministry is given by God. Well, now that changes things dramatically. Even you group leaders, that is your ministry, a ministry that God has given to you. And your goal should be to minister to your people. God has made you a steward of that group. And you are responsible to God for what you do with that group. Now, doesn't that change things dramatically, folks? Now, as Mark is a group leader, if his goal is to please me, then the only thing that's really important is what I see. If my goal is to please Pastor, now that's a little different situation because he's my boss too, okay? But if my only goal is to please the pastor, that will affect my ministry, won't it? Because then the only thing that matters is what he sees. But if I say, oh, I've received my ministry from God. God has made me a steward of the music ministry. God has made me a steward of the Victory Bible class. Well, now that changes things dramatically. And by the way, as a steward, I will answer to the one who put me in that stewardship, won't I? That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Yeah, we're all going to give account. So here we have the source of the call is not man. It's not, you know, you've heard of the mama call preacher. It's not even if we get you into a ministry, it's not us. It should be from God. Everything you do, the source of the call is from God. Now, there's no doubt that God calls specific people. He called Moses to a specific ministry. He called Gideon to a specific ministry. He called Jeremiah and Isaiah and all these people to specific ministries. He has called Preacher Lashley to a specific ministry. He's called me to a specific ministry. And of these are all full-time ministries. And again, you may be saying, okay, great. I can go back to sleep now. Which you're doing really well this morning, by the way. Staying awake, that is, not sleeping. Okay. Now, let me just stop here, by the way. It may be that there are folks in this room who God is calling to a specific full-time ministry. And if that is the case, folks, you need to be like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And what did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And when God told him, what did he do? He did it. He did it. Now, by the way, more than likely when God calls you to ministry, it won't be like Paul went through, okay? Well, I'll get in the choir when I'm going down the road and a great light from heaven comes and God says, get in the choir. You know, probably not going to happen, okay? But God obviously moves through His Spirit to show you His will and shows you what to do. Now, there's this full-time ministry, definitely God called. But does God call you, you folks, I would call laymen, okay? Does God call you to a ministry? Should you have a ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if you're a member here? Should you have a ministry? Okay, now look, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just back a couple pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12 is about spiritual gifts. Okay? God gives spiritual gifts to believers. He baptizes them into the body of Christ. They are given spiritual gifts for work in the body of Christ. How many believers have spiritual gifts? All. I should say a spiritual gift. All. Some have one, some have many. Now notice in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what's the next word? Every. How many of you are included with every? Yeah, pretty much everybody. Okay. All right. So, everyone has been given spiritual gifts. Look in verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God works, He works as He will. In His will, He gives us spiritual gifts. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. All right. So God gives you spiritual gifts, places you in the body of Christ for a purpose, to do something, to have a ministry. He has given you a stewardship. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone back to heaven and He has left us here and we are to be stewards. He places you in a ministry. And you ought to be good stewards. Remember the story of the talents? The landholder is going to be leaving. He has three servants. He gives one five talents, one two, and one one. And he says, now you take these talents, you invest them, you use them, and same day I'm coming back. And you remember the story. The guy with five worked very hard. He fulfilled his stewardship and he gained five when the master came back. The one with two received two. And both of them, by the way, heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one person said, I'm chicken. I am afraid. And he hid his talent. Now, we know this is actually money, but what a great application for today. God has given you spiritual talents, spiritual gifts, and he wants you to get in the ministry. And the Word of God says there's going to come a day when we're all going to give account. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? To judge you for your sin? No, to judge your works. And the fire will be applied and we will see if there are wood, hay, and stubble or if there are precious gold and silver that remain. Look, folks, God has given you a ministry. He has called you to a ministry. Maybe not to the ministry, but there is a ministry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for you. And you ought to find out what it is. You say, I just can't figure it out. Oh, you pray. You seek the Lord. Lord, show me the ministry that you want me to have. There are multitudes of ministries in the church. There's something even you can do. There really is. God has a ministry for you. And again, it's not pastor's ministry for you. It's not my ministry for you. It is God's ministry for you. God calls you to a ministry. He gives you the abilities for that ministry. He calls you to it. And someday, you'll give an account for what you did. I'm afraid there's a lot of believers who are using their spiritual gifts and talents to make money and get lots of stuff. And they are not using it for the building of the body of Christ. Now, we will give an account. When? Don't know. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. Could be next year. We need to get in the ministry. Now, let me ask you. By the way, last week in our Sunday school lesson, we finished talking about what ministry? I know this is tough. Very good. Thank you. I feel so much better. The ministry of reconciliation. Have you been reconciled to Christ? You were at enmity, you were an enemy of Christ. Jesus Christ took your sin, paid for your sin. I hope I never get over that. I hope when we talk about what Jesus did on the cross for you, your heart swells up with gratitude and joy. That all after, and folks, look, he said, look, I've given you the gospel. You know the gospel. You know the truth. Now, I've given to you the ministry of reconciliation. How'd you do this week? How many tracts did you hand out? How many people did you give the message of reconciliation, the gospel to? Ministry of reconciliation. All right? The source of the ministry. What is the source? Who is the source? God. God is the source. Okay? Now, let's move on quickly. The spirit of the ministry. God has called you to it, and I already alluded to this in our introduction. What is the spirit of the ministry? Look in verse 24. And we're just going to cover that first two or three words. It says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister who now am plodding through, hoping to persevere to the end. Right? Who now, what's the next word?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice. The source of the ministry is God. The spirit of the ministry is joy. And you all look so happy about that. It is joy. Now, what is joy? It's not, you know, spacey, oh, whoopee, I'm so happy, whoopee, frivolous kind of, you know, silly kind of stuff. That's not joy. That's outward happiness. Joy is rejoicing in the Lord no matter what. That inner joy, no matter what comes in my life, I have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Paul taught this all throughout the epistles. But look in Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians. Back just one book. Here Paul is in Philippi with the jailer. And look what he says. Verse 18 in chapter 1. 10 times in this book he uses the word rejoice. 10 times. Verse 18, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Look down in chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In chapter 4 and verse 4, you probably know this one. Here's his exhortation. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going great. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. By the way, You know, where was he when he wrote this book? In a stinking, terrible, unsanitary, filthy, rat-infested prison. And he says, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Let me ask you, should a Christian have joy in their life? Why? What's true about a believer? Why should they have joy? Got a home in heaven. What else? What's that? Relationship with the living God. What else? Indwelt by the Spirit of God. What else? Forgiven. What else? Some of you haven't thought of one thing yet. Maybe that's why you're so sad. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take a couple laps about that one. What a great truth. We're justified. Been reconciled to God. We can pray and talk to the God of heaven. God has given us all of his promises. And we can trust in his promises. I mean, boy, that ought to be great. And yet so often we as believers were muddling along. And, oh, it's so hard. What is it that robs a believer of their joy? Number one, sin. That's exactly right.
Lack of focus.
Yeah, or wrong focus. Lack of focus on God. We're focusing on the problem. What else?
Lack of faith.
Lack of faith. What else? What's that?
Cares
of the world. Sure, things happen, don't they? Troubles come. Circumstances. What else? How about comparing yourself to somebody else? That'll make you discouraged. Is that me or somebody else? I guess not me. Sam's on call. All right, see you, Sam. You almost made it. That was close. Often we lose our joy in the ministry for the very same reasons, don't we? And I kind of mentioned this in the introduction. But we're serving God and we're miserable. Can you think of an Old Testament prophet who God blessed in a mighty way in a revival, and yet he was mad? He was sad? Jonah. Jonah. Yeah, here the guy sees a great revival. Everybody gets saved, you know? Great revival. And he's sitting on the hillside and he's mad. A bunch of heathen got saved. I'm so mad about this. And I'm afraid sometimes as believers, we're the same way, folks. And we get to the point where we're just doing it because we have to do it. And we're bitter and we're resentful and we're happy, we're unhappy. And we go about saying, oh, it's so hard to serve the Lord. Well, you serve the devil for a while. You see how that goes. I mean, lots of people like that. And their lives are in ruins because they're serving the devil. Now, real quickly, let me give you three keys to joy. Boy, very quickly. Number one, and Mr. Buchanan mentioned this for us. Right focus. Right focus. You want to have joy? Man, your focus needs to be changed. When I am discouraged and downtrodden, I guarantee you, it's not the problem, because you always have problems, it's my focus. And I'm focusing on my problems, I'm focusing on others that are getting what I want, I am focusing on the injustices that have happened in my life. I'm focusing on all these things, and I have completely lost my focus on God. If you've lost your joy, that's the problem. Now, it may be sin or all these other things we talked about, but if you're right with God as far as sin and you're living right, and you're still distressed and discouraged in the ministry or in your life, and you have no joy, you've got a focus problem. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Folks, we need to focus on who God is. See, real joy comes when we remember that God is sovereign and that God has a good plan for our life and that he's working in our life to make us better. Hebrews chapter 11 or 12. The chastening of the Lord. Why does he chasten us? To make us better, because he loves us. That's exactly right. Same reason you chastened your children, because you want to be better. You don't want to be convicts when they grow up. Now, look, folks, if your focus is wrong, you're going to have terrible problems. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says, look, you need to turn and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy? The joy of people getting saved and being redeemed. The joy of his exaltation. easy for you to say, huh? Exaltation, the right hand of God. All of that joy helped him to endure, and he kept on going. Boy, a right focus. Secondly, I said three things. I'm going to give you two. I changed my outline. Be filled with the Spirit. I think Ulysses mentioned, when you get saved, you get the Spirit of God. And when you are controlled by the Spirit of God, what will you have? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. That's exactly right. If you don't have joy, then what's true? You're not being filled with the Spirit. You're not being controlled by the Spirit of God. You're being controlled by your flesh. Yeah, you let the flesh take over, you won't have any joy, will you? You'll be jealous. You'll be mad. You'll be upset. But the Spirit-controlled person has joy. And one of the great things the Spirit of God will do will just kind of show you who you are. Have you ever had your kids say, "I don't deserve that"? Have you ever said that to God? I don't deserve this. Sure. Now, by the way, in all this, in no way am I ever wanting to come to your situation and say, "You big dummy." You know, there are people in tough situations. I know that. But is there any situation that God cannot help you through? Is there any situation that God cannot resolve? Now, folks, look. If you are a Spirit-filled believer, you'll get your eyes off of all the junk, and you'll get them on God, and you'll have joy. And you can have joy in serving Jesus. I hope, now I'll be honest, there have been times in the ministry that I have not had joy. And it's been drudgery. When I have one tenor show up to sing this morning, I'll get over that. We'll be okay. By the way, if you're a tenor and the Lord's leading you to the choir, listen to the Lord. We're looking at the ministry. The source is God. The source is God, folks. And we ought to be filled with joy when we serve the Lord. Look, God has called you to be a minister. Not maybe a minister, but a minister. Okay? He's given you a ministry. Are you doing it, number one? Are you doing the ministry that God has called you to? You say, "Well, I haven't found it." Are you looking? You know? All of us men are this way. Wife says, "Go get this." "Couldn't find it. Did you look?" "Well, you know, kind of." You know. If you're not looking for the Lord's will, you're not going to find it. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord's will. The ministry He wants you to be involved in. And then do it with joy. If you've lost your joy in the ministry you're in, you need some self-examination. What am I doing? Where's my focus? What's going on? Now, David lost his joy when he sinned. He said, "Rejoice in me, the joy of my salvation." That may be your need today. Christians ought to be joyful people. Now, I'm not saying bouncing off the walls, okay? But we ought to have the joy of the Lord. No matter what comes in our life, God is in control. He's doing a good work, and I can have joy. I can make it through. Okay? All right, so first two things. First two elements, characteristics of the ministry. God puts you there, and you ought to have joy. Okay? Do a checkup. Yes, sir.
One place to serve. There's still slots for the fair booth.
There you go. There's a ministry right there. Good. There's lots. Hey, there's something for you to do. Hallelujah. There is. There is. Good. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ministry. And Lord, you've called us all to minister. Help us this week to be fulfilling the ministry you've called us to do. And Lord, help us to do it with joy. Help us to be joyful Christians. And Lord, we know that things will happen this week, that we're not planning on things that we may not like. But we know you're sovereign, and help us to have joy no matter what, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, after I taught that this week, pray for me. Something bad's going to happen, you know.